NFL, and it's enjoyed hearing your update of Believers Convention and kind of whet my appetite to come back. We, Candace and I, was at 2014 and 15? I'm on here. I think it was 2015 was the last year we were there, and so it's high time we go back, so we'll have to plan it for, I don't know if we can work into 2020 or not. We're already looking at other things, but one of the things that's, I mean, it's a great time spiritually, but, and it is true that you do buffet your body. You do get a lot of buffets, but if you notice that shot of the convention center, you know, the 2 years that we were there, we were on the other, the Hotel Omni that Ryan and Fallon stayed at was on the east side of the convention center. We were on the west side. Either way, it's like a full block away from the auditorium, and so you do a lot of walking as well, too. So, it's, I mean, as long as you have a good pair of shoes, it's all right. You just have a buffet, and then you walk for a kilometer to get to church, and you know, you kind of balance each other out, and so it's good. It's a fun time, and it's just a great time of spiritual impartation, but I can definitely identify with what Fallon says, but you have to write it down, because when you're basically in, like, 30 church services back to back, and keep in mind, like, I'm going to talk today, I'm going to shorten it up, because I'm going to shoot for 20 minutes, or say 25 minutes today. But when you're at Believers Convention, each speaker is talking for an hour and a half. And so you get 30 of those, you're not going to remember it all, right? And so you're taking notes. When they say write it down, you do want to write it down. And when the Lord speaks to you, you want to write it down. And then you get home and you have a whole notebook full of notes. But then you can listen to it again. The Lord can speak it to you again. And you know what? The interesting thing and the thing that's blessed me is even if you don't remember everything that's said, you are feeding your spirit. It's going down inside. And you are feeding your spirit, man. And you can reap a harvest. And you can reach another level spiritually, even without consciously, you know, remembering some of the things that you were spoken, because you've been feeding your spirit, man. And so bless you guys for going, and appreciate you sharing that with us. And I'm sure that you will have more to share with us in the coming days as well. I want to do just a quick little imagination exercise with you guys before we get going today. And I'm just going to be kind of introducing the topic that I'm going to be speaking about for the next few weeks. But I want you just to close your eyes. We're going to do this for only for, 30 seconds or so. So it's not going to be like a huge awkward thing, but just close your eyes, and I want you just to do a little bit of dreaming and imagine just a preferred future if all your needs were met and you were walking in abundance in all areas of your life. So financially, relationally, you know, emotionally, you know, if there was just overflow and healing and an abundance, I want you just to imagine what your life would look like just for about 30 seconds. I'm going to do it with you guys, and then we'll continue. Thank you, Lord. You know, I did that actually as I was preparing to speak with you guys today. And the Lord just showed me some things right now that I have not seen before about my family and our future. So praise the Lord. Thank Him for speaking to us. The question I have for you guys, when you are imagining the blessing of God in your life, when you are looking forward, looking into the future to what God's going to do, who are the people around you experiencing that blessing? Who are you walking together in life with? For most of us, it probably started with family. The people that are closest to us, the people that we spend the most time with. And I know family is a term that, you know, there's lots of different types of family. Even in this church, obviously we're a family, and there's lots of different configurations of family, but the people that we spend life with, sometimes you don't even have to be physically related to someone, and they're family, right? And you are probably, if you're anything like me, the Lord's shown you pictures of family and doing life together and enjoying each other's company and thriving together as family. And that's when I take time to do that, the Lord right away will drop images in my mind of just spending time together with my family, my children right now. But it's not too soon, and I'm, you know, looking in the future, and I'm imagining my children's children and myself older and Candace older, and us having a large household, and my parents still around and my in-laws still around, and just a large family of people whose hearts are to the Lord and doing life together, and not just life together, but ministry together and outreach and serving people together. And I think when the Lord thinks of his people and his family, that's what he sees. He sees it's his family, his people, doing life together, spending time with him, fellowshipping with him, just hanging out and enjoying each other's presence, but also doing ministry together, either in the church or outside the walls of the church. I think the Lord's mind immediately goes, when he's thinking abundance and overflow, it's such, I just absolutely believe it's the heart of the Father that he immediately thinks family, and he pictures his family and his people flourishing and thriving in that goodness, in that abundance. Psalms 31:19 says, "How great is the goodness you've stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world." I love that verse. God lavishes his goodness on those who come to him for protection, blessing them before the watching world. I absolutely believe that it's God's plan for his family, his people, to thrive, for those who are faithful to him to experience the fullness of his blessing, the fullness of his glory, his power, his presence, and his goodness. That's been God's plan from all along. When we look at Genesis 1:27, this is the first declaration of the blessing. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." And then when the Lord declared the blessing to Abraham, let's go right away to Genesis 12:1-3. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go into the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." Do you notice family? Be fruitful and multiply. Well, that wasn't just Adam and Eve. They, you know, God's plan from the very beginning was multiplication of his blessing, and he intended it to happen through families. And that's exactly what happened. Galatians 3:19 says, "All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith." We're here, and we're blessed because of the faith of Abraham, because God chose to use families to extend his dominion and his kingdom over the earth. And here's the first kind of big truth. We'll just hang your hat on this for just a little bit. Your blessing is connected to the family that you're connected to. Your blessing in life is connected to the family you're connected to. Another verse, we don't have it on the screen, but John 1:12 says, "To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." Galatians 3:26, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Ryan Fallon shared that as well, that we are children of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. So if you're, you know, if you've been a member of God's family for a long time, or if you just made that decision that this morning in our worship service, to invite Jesus into your life and to make him the Lord of life, you're part of God's family. And the blessing on your life is directly connected to the family that you're part of. This is true in the natural as well, right? This is true in the physical. So there's some families that have learned to walk in a greater degree of blessing than others. If you're part of that family, you know, Jeremy Pearson's often jokes about this, and it's kind of funny, but he says, you know, he'll say, "I have a great family. I've been absolutely blessed to be part of the Copeland family, and I have a wealthy grandpa." And you know, he's not doing that to be braggadocious or rub it in anyone's face. He's saying, "I've been blessed And my blessing is connected to the family that I'm a part of. And he's talking of his physical family, but obviously of his spiritual family as well. We're going to look at Galatians 6, 9 to 10. This verse talks about the family that you and I are part of, the spiritual family. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially who are those of the household of faith. So in life, every family is always part of a larger family, right? So I have, you know, I have my family, the Hart family. It's Candace, myself, and Kylie, and Kennedy, Christian, and it's us five. But we're also part of the larger Hart family, and we're also part of the Reimer family, right? And those families are part of other families. Every family is part of a larger family, and so what family, what spiritual family are we part of? Well, certainly, the household of faith, that phrase, that word household really just means family. We can say the household of faith, or we can say the family of faith. Certainly that means like the big church, like all God's people all around the world. But our spiritual family, our specific spiritual family, we often use this term, and you'll hear it, you know, hear myself or others, but if you're listening to Brother Copeland or again Jeremy, or I'm thinking even of Pastor Joel and Red Deer, he'll talk about the household of faith or the family of faith, and that's a term that we will use for our perhaps a little bit smaller or more unique family within the broader family of Christ. And every family is different, right? So I talked about how the fact that like my immediate family is part of the Hart family and the Reimer family. Every family is different, has a unique culture, different values, different characteristics. If I go to a Hart family reunion, trust me, it's way different than a Reimer family reunion. I'm going to just be honest, the Harts are kind of boring compared to the Reimers. We just kind of sit around and chat, and we may have some coffee. The Reimers, they do it up wild. They're having a lot more than coffee, and there's all kinds of things going on. And I kind of like going to Reimer family functions, actually, because you're never bored. That's for absolutely certain. There's always something going on. Families are very, very different. Unique culture, unique characteristics, unique value, right? And so our church family at Solid Rock, we recognize that we're part of a larger family. You know, this family here is part of a larger family. It's part, we would call it the household of faith, but it's also part of a larger household of faith. And that family of faith that we're part of, are part of the Christian, are part of Christianity. We have a unique culture, some unique characteristics, some unique values that the Lord's given to us. And this is not a right or wrong thing necessarily. This is, what has God put on your heart? What is the things that he's called you to press into and focus on? And how do we acquire that culture and those characteristics and that personality as a church family and as a family of faith, maybe the network and some of the people that we're partnered with? How does that happen? Well, I just said the word. I believe one of the ways it happens very strongly is through partnership. So the people that we partner with, the people who we let speak into our lives, the people who we go to for spiritual encouragement and to hear spiritual truth and to get spiritually fed, especially when we partner with them, there is a transference that takes place. Whoever you rub shoulders with, they just rub off on you. It happens in real life as well, right? Whoever you spend time with, and this happens to me so quickly, I mentioned this, if I go to like some place where there's people with an accent, I start speaking like them in no time at all. It's kind of embarrassing, actually. I'll come day one with a Canadian accent, and 3 days later, I'm speaking like I'm from Missouri or something like that. And then Candace be like, "Why are you talking like that?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Everyone else is talking like that. I just thought I'd join in. I can't help it." But who you're around rubs off on you, and the same is true spiritually. So who you spend time with spiritually, they'll rub off on you. And their culture and their values and their characteristics will start to rub off on you. This is why partnership is so powerful, and it's so important to be intentional about who you partner with. And so how do we establish a culture in our church? How do we choose what things to value and put an emphasis on? Well, we trust the Holy Spirit to lead us into partnership with certain individuals, with certain ministries, with certain leaders, And that's, and we also trust the Holy Spirit to help us be very selective and Spirit-led when we're choosing, where am I going to get spiritually fed? If I'm going to read an online devotional, which one is it going to be? If I'm going to read a Christian magazine, which magazine is it going to be? If I'm going to listen to a Christian podcast, which one is it going to be? And it's important that we are Spirit-led, because the Holy Spirit has called us to have a distinct culture and to have distinct values and things that He wants us to emphasize, here in this place. But we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So I have a list, and I had to just stop, because the longer I spent on it, the longer the list got. And this is definitely not in order of importance. But if we were to ask the question, what is our family? You know, what does our family look like? What does our house of faith look like? What are the culture and values that we would aspire to and feel the Lord has called us here at Solid Rock? And you know what? I'm just going to read them off. And you probably won't even be able to write them down or follow me. But these are the things that the Lord put on my heart right away. Pursuit of the glory of God, His power, His presence, and His goodness. Love for Jesus expressed through passionate worship. Desire to live in the anointing of God, and expectation of the supernatural acts of God. Guys, today's worship service was anointed. Now, normally I'm standing and when I'm playing the keyboard, and how do I know when the anointing gets heavier? Because I just start to move around. I'm like, why am I moving around so much? You know, cause I'm not normally, you know, I'm a musical person, but I just don't move around very much, even when I'm listening to music. But when I start moving and really swaying, like, Ken, what are you doing? And then, you know, I'm trying to play the keyboard, and I'm like, that's the anointing. Well, I'm sitting down today, so I couldn't do that. But my right foot started to shake, and I could barely press the pedal on that keyboard because my right foot was shaking so much. That's the anointing. When God's presence falls, you will tangibly feel it in your body, and probably many of you felt that here today. We treasure the anointing. You know, as a worship team, that's one of the things that we do when we get together and spend time in prayer. Just briefly before the worship service, we say, Lord, we welcome your anointing. We rely on your anointing. We place high value in your anointing, much more than our talents and our ability and any of those things. We need your anointing. So we value the anointing. The Word of God is the final authority in our lives. The Word of God. We believe that it's so key and so foundational to have a powerful revelation of how much God loves us. Faith works by love. If you don't have God's love in your heart, you will not have any love to give away. You have to receive His love. And the only way that we love is because He loved us first, right? So important for us to have a powerful revelation of God's love. We believe in the authority of the believer, the position and authority we have through Christ. The authority that we have is not our own, but because He died for us and He raised us up and set us at the right hand of the Father, we have tremendous power and tremendous authority in Christ. We have a belief in the goodness of God, that He is only good and only does good things. Did you catch that? God is only good and He only does good things. Not everyone believes that. We believe in God's grace and everything that God's grace has provided. That's really what the grace of God is simply everything He's provided for us. If you want to think, what is God's grace? Everything that's part of atonement, everything that was accomplished and happened at the cross was a visible manifestation of God's grace. Faith is the way we receive everything that grace has provided. Grace provides it, faith receives it. We believe in abundance, that God's desire is to bring overflow in all areas of our lives. God wants you to prosper. We'll never apologize for saying that. God wants you to prosper. And that's not just financially. We're talking about whole life prosperity. So that's wholeness and healing and restoration and abundance in all areas of your life. Whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, socially, you name it, wholeness and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. And that wholeness and abundance is not for us to say, look how good we got it. It's for the world. God wants to bring it to us so that he can get it through us and to the world. Remember, God uses families to bless the world. And so as a family, our job is to learn how to receive through faith what grace has provided so we can give it away to the watching world. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you, Fallon, for being sent of the Holy Spirit today and teaching us and leading us in receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit today. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They are for the church today, and they will propel the church into its end time completion and the fulfillment of its end time mission. We believe on heaven and on earth, that the glory and manifestation of heaven is meant to begin on earth, right here, right now, through you and through me. And things that we've talked about recently, we believe in a culture of honor, a culture of excellence, a culture of hospitality, a culture of generosity. Guys, we could go on and on. There's lots of things that we could talk about, but I've just given you a whole list of this is what our family of faith looks like. This is what we aspire to. This is the vision. This is the goal. This is where we're headed. And it might not always look like that every Sunday in every situation, but this is what God's called us to. And this is what drives us to partner with specific ministries and get spiritually fed in certain ways. And I just, as I was thinking about what I was going to share this morning, I felt the Lord just want to encourage some of you that you're not here by accident. You might not always come to this church. You might not consider this part of your church family, but you are not here by accident. And God has called you to be a part of a specific family of faith, much more specific than just, I'm a believer or I believe in Jesus. But he wants you to be part of a family. He wants to be part of a family of faith that has a distinct culture, distinct characteristics, and distinct values. It matters where you go to church. It absolutely matters where you go to church. Because this might sound like a great list, but I'm telling you, not all churches believe these things. And that's not to say, that is not a slight or anything negative about all churches. I'm just saying, there are specific things that you need to have a revelation on if you're going to fulfill the call of God on your life. There are specific truths that you need to know, tools that you need to have in your tool belt. And God's called you here for a purpose and for a reason, because the things that he's impressed upon us, the things that he's leading us into, you need as well in your life. There's a big difference between what I have there. That's good. I'm going to go back to it. I was going to say, there's a big difference between just choosing to go to church, just choosing to attend church, and choosing to partner with a family of faith. Huge difference. Right? When we just choose to go to church, we just know, perhaps we know it's a good thing, and maybe our parents did it, and we know that, you know, if I'm a Christian, this would be a good thing, is that I should go to church every once in a while. Well, it is. And if that's why you came this morning, praise God. I'm grateful you're here. Thank you for coming and being part of us. But you know what really blesses the heart of the Lord? And to be honest, blesses me as a pastor when someone says, you know, I've been listening to the Holy Spirit, and I really feel led to join with you and partner with what God's doing in your church. And I want to do life with you. I want to minister in the kingdom of God with you. I want to grow spiritually with you. And so I'm going to be part of your family of faith. I'm going to join this family. That is a whole different level of an intentionality that is going to cause a much greater inflow of blessing and revelation and insight into your life, because you are being really intentional at that point about saying, Lord, I'm going to receive everything you have for me, and I'm going to move toward that call and that destiny that you have for me and my family. Amen. That's an incredible honor, by the way, when people come to our church, and when they might, if they say that to you and say that to me, that's an incredible honor, that when people will respond to what the Lord is saying to them, and when they communicate that. That's amazing. This is really just an introduction to what we're going to talk about just for the next few weeks. I'm going to try and wrap this up really quickly here. What do I got? Oh yeah, I can do it. I knew probably that I wouldn't be able to really get into the meat of what I want to share over the next few weeks. But what I've titled this next series that I'm going to share with you guys is Raising a Family in the Household of Faith. And, you know, I watched just a little bit from a sermon series that Brother Jeremy Pearson did last year, and he did some broadcasts related to this. The Lord's been really speaking to me about this, but from all a bunch of other sources as well, just about legacy and family and building upon the things that the Lord has given us. And what do we do specifically when we're called to lead a family? Now, I realize that not everyone is called to lead a family, but we're all part of a family. If you're part of a family, you have influence in that family. And so whatever your family situation looks like in the natural, you're a part of a family. You have people that you spend life with, and you might not even be, like I said, you know, physically related to them, but they're part of your family. And because you have relationship, you have influence. Wherever you have relationship, you have influence. And so this, you know, this certainly is apical and pertains to those of us who are leading families and those of us who have perhaps a little bit more greater influence over our families, but it applies to all of us. Raising a family in the household of faith. And I hope you guys have a little bit better understanding. When I say raising a family in the household of faith, I'm talking about raising a family that reflects the culture and the values and the characteristics of our family of faith. Those specific things that God has called us to emphasize and to focus on and to uphold and promote. And it's important that we learn to do this. It's important that we think about this, because it's not going to happen by accident. We need to be intentional about joining ourselves, not just to a family of faith, but intentional about leading our families or growing our families in that household of faith. So we take on that culture and those characteristics and those values. Because if God's called you to be part of this family, He's called you to look like this family, behave like this family, and learn some of the revelations and truths that God has revealed to this family. He wouldn't bring you here not to receive those things. It's for you. God wants to see your family thrive and flourish where you've been planted. Flourish where you've been planted. You know what happens in life? As we get closer to the Lord and spend time in fellowship with the Lord, we start to take on His heart. Did you know that? So the things that are on the Lord's heart, the things that the Lord thinks about, the more you spend time in fellowship with Him and communion with Him, and fellowshipping with your vision. I like that phrase. I hadn't heard that before. The more you spend time fellowshipping with that vision that the Lord's given you, the closer the desires and the cry of your heart is going to mirror what's on God's heart. And so I believe, because God wants our families to thrive and prosper, as you spend time with the Lord, that will become your heart as well, if it's not already, to see your family thrive and prosper and overflow. There was I can't even remember the guy's name, but I took a screenshot of it. Someone I followed on, I'm not even sure I followed on Twitter, but I just, you know, sometimes on Twitter you like see a name, and like, who's that? And you click on their account, and a lot of people have a bio, right? This was this guy's bio, Twitter bio, just a little phrase: I'll be wealthier than my parents, and my children will be wealthier than me. Man, that spoke to me. I will be wealthier than my parents, and my children will be wealthier than me. The first of all, I'm willing to bet that his parents had that same attitude, which is why he was able to say that, because his parents were intentional that their children will be wealthier than they were. Of course, we're just talking in the natural. But as I've spent time with the Lord, this is one of the things that the Lord has been stirring up in me, is that I have a greater and greater desire to see my parents go further and do more and accomplish more in their lives than I'll be able to push them forward, to propel them forward, to give them the ability to build on the things that the Lord has shown me, and to have a transference of that to my children so that they can stand on my shoulders and reach further. And then after a period of time, perhaps it's not me pushing them forward, but it's them pulling on me and bringing me up as well too. That's the way it's intended to work. Psalms 127, 3-5 says, "Children are God's love gift. They are heaven's generous reward. Children born to a young couple will one day rise to protect and provide for their parents. Happy will be the couple who has many of them. A household full of children will not bring shame on your name, but victory when you face your enemies, for your offspring will have influence and honor to prevail on your behalf. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. This is just a picture into the heart of God for us as children, that we would learn to prevail on His behalf. And this is why God's called us to be intentional and learn how to raise a family and the household of faith, because this is what He wants for our children. That they have a heart toward the Lord, that they pursue Him, and it'll give them influence and honor, even to prevail on our behalf. Right now, most of us with children are prevailing on our children's behalf, right? Mom, Dad, help me with this. But this is the heart of the Father. This is how it's designed to work, is that they grow and they're propelled forward to such a point that they prevail on our behalf. You know, part of when the Lord has been speaking to me, part of my recognition and my awareness is that this has been the heart of my parents for many years. And the only reason that I have the opportunity and the ability to think this way and dream this way is because my parents, this has been in their heart for many, many years. I can remember my dad sharing a prophetic word. I'm not sure when it was received, but we were driving down Main Street in Kenville, right past Don Mahan's old restaurant gas station. I think that's right there. And Dad was sharing a prophetic word. It comes out of this verse that I just read, just in a different translation, about how children are arrows shot out, and how the Lord would send His sons as arrows all over the world to do ministry. I don't know if you remember that at all. I don't know why I remember that, but I remember the exact location. You know, and now I have two brothers in Vancouver, and I have one brother in Ottawa, and they've been shot out as arrows across this nation. But that's been my parents' heart, because that's been their heart and their desire. I believe that's one of the reasons why I'm able to stand here today and say, this is the heart that I have for my children. It's for them to be powerfully used by God and sent out and able to do mighty things for the kingdom. Lord, let it be. I believe that God wants to stir this up in all of us. That's all I have. This is just an introduction, again, for what we're going to be talking about, for raising a family in the house of faith. But I believe that spirit of sending and wanting to build and wanting to leave a legacy. We didn't even talk about that. But being intentional about the legacy that we're building. This is the heart of the Father. And this is what the Lord wants to stir up in us. Psalms 1, very first chapter in the book of Psalms. Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3. What delight comes to one who follows God's ways. He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found in a scorner's seat. His pleasure and passion is remaining true to the word of I am, meditating day and night in the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of his life. He's never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. Amen. Lord, let it be for us, and let it be for our children. I believe the Lord will show us some truths over the next few times that I'm able to speak with you. This will help us raise a family in the household of faith. Amen. Let's stand.